The Rain Podcast Business Summit 2021 from New York.
Thank you. Thank you, Lee. And I do have to make just a tiny correction. I'm with Stitcher. Eric is not, but I'll let him in a second introduce himself. I've been with Stitcher just a few months, but I've been in podcasting for several years and have been a journalist for several more years beyond that. Eric, what would you like to say about yourself?
Sure. Well, yes, I'm not a Stitcher employee, but I'm very happy to be here at their invitation. So thank you. But yes, I am a podcast creator and host and EP. I've had the pleasure of working in development, now owned by Spotify, on a variety of shows, but I've also pleasure to be able to create two shows that are very near and dear to me. For Colored Nerds, which is an independent podcast that I co-host and co-created with my best friend and business partner, Brittany Luce, and The Nod, which I also created with my best friend and business partner, Brittany Luce. And we were enough to be able to adapt The Nod into a streaming television show for the Quibi Network. I had a wealth of experience in the industry for over the past 5 or 6 years. And definitely to kind of dive into this topic, Camille.
Totally. So this session is all about the dire need for representation across the podcast business model. And I really want to emphasize the dire part, because this is an urgent issue and people are not going to wait for the industry to catch up. And yet often these discussions get framed as a heart and mind issue, or we should be doing it because it's moral, or we should be doing it because somebody caught us doing something bad, or we should be doing it because we're reacting to something. But all of that, I think, leaves a lot of leeway for avoidance of action. So Eric, why is inclusion essential to podcasting living up to its potential, its promise?
Well, I mean, to me, it's dive into what that promise is. For me, podcasting is a promise that there is space for you. There is content for you. Whether you consider that to be, broad with into topics like sports, news, society and culture, or if you want to drill down to get ultra specific, ultra niche, if you want to listen to a show that chronicles your favorite TV show minute by minute, that exists in some format. If you want to hear stories about Black people, for example, like the podcast I created, that exists in many different ways. So this idea that if I can think it, there is a podcast out there for me, is what the industry communicates. But the reality is that's not what you find when you get there. The reality is we struggle with discovery. So, while there are many podcasts that cater to almost any kind of category of interest that you might have, all of those aren't easily accessible. The podcasts that come from some of our biggest publishers often kind of rise to the top because of advertising, because of social media influence, and a variety of other factors, being able to attract celebrity content. So we're in this kind of situation where new audiences are coming to podcasting in search of content that is speaking to them. Lee mentioned the rate of growth that was observed in Black audiences and podcast listenership. It's exponential. But what we want to make sure is that they can find what they're looking for when they get there. And that is an issue that the entire industry needs to address. And it's something, producers of color and other producers and podcast executives, and podcast employees have been speaking to for a while. Like, how do we change the dynamic of content that is rising to the top? How do we change the stories that are coming out of our shows? Sadly, as a result of kind of the unrest that observed last year after the death of George Floyd, in addition to the pandemic, which has caused us all to kind of sit and think and consider the experiences of everyone around us because of how difficult the time has been, people have been considering, you know, what are my gaps? What are my blind spots? And, you know, this is one of them. This is important. If we are going to deliver on that promise, if the industry is going to achieve the scale that appears to be possible within podcasting, we need to think more about the work of inclusion.
I want to chime in and say that although this will be kind of a fireside chat, we will take a couple, maybe one or two questions at the end. So if you have one, feel free to put them in the chat and we'll pick out one or two. So Eric, we know that for many places, inclusion, you just talked about inclusion, and a lot of times diversity and inclusion, people stop at diversity, and specifically they stop at diversity in hiring. But when you and I were talking, we focus a lot on inclusion. And that is something that unfortunately for many workplaces and not just media, not just podcasting, that's not baked into the DNA from the start. We tend to make things, build structures, build companies, and then at the end say like, oh, we missed someone. Who do we miss? So not to point any fingers at all, but to acknowledge that there are many people probably on this call who might be in that position or maybe have been doing the work. But where should people start, no matter where they are on that spectrum?
Well, I mean, in a perfect world, you're starting with leadership. You know, is your leadership structure representative of the types of audiences that you're catering to? You know, that do they have that background, that wealth of experience with those audiences? That is the one, like, leadership stems top down. So if you're thinking of inclusion, if you're thinking, you know, of prioritizing voices that we haven't heard before, you want to start with your leadership structure because they will understand how to set the tone for the different levels of the company. But there's another piece that is really important to that. And to me, it's feedback. How does feedback move within your organization? Right now, this is just, you know, the reflective of kind of the need for diversity in the industry. But currently, you know, most people of color and people from marginalized groups exist within podcast companies in the lower rungs. Just being frank, if you're talking about a content operation, you know, you're thinking about an AP, an assistant producer. You're thinking about that intern coming in the door. You know, and you have, while you have people at every level, I think you have, you know, there are Black people who are editors and executive producers like yourself. It's kind of rare to actually observe that. That is not the norm. So how are we prioritizing the voices of people who are in, you know, some of the more junior tiers of our structures? Because right now they're talking to us, but those messages aren't rising to the top. They're giving us advice on, you know, what types of stories we should be telling. They're giving us advice on framing, like how should we be contextualizing why this content is important? Even, you know, in a sales and marketing context, we have to tell the story of these shows. You know, how do we communicate this to the audience? These underrepresented voices are essential to that type of work, are essential to reflecting the authenticity that is so important to listeners when they're choosing content, when they're choosing to stick with content, when they're choosing to commit to a podcast. So, you know, we have to think about, is my organizational structure situated in a way where I can hear from the people who I want to reach, the people who, you know, identify with the audiences that I'm trying to reach, but also just, am I able to hear from voices that I'm typically not hearing? And so, you know, there are many structures to be able to do that. You know, sometimes it's, again, within content, I come back to that place because, you know, that's kind of where I mostly cut my teeth. It's, you know, having pitch meetings and saying, you know, does anyone else have any ideas? Giving people an opportunity to pitch what's on their heart, to take away some of the idea of risk, you know, in certain situations, to go with what people know, you know. I communicate, I just have to communicate often. You know, The Nod was a show that told the stories of Black people and life. We called ourselves Blackness's biggest fans. So, you know, we tried to use this idea to communicate that we know our audience. We are part of it. We are, you know, intimately integrated within Black culture because we live it every single day. You know, are you searching out for those people who are living the experiences of your audiences and prioritizing their voice to give you insight on how to innovate your content and even your, you know, your production processes and points at every level of your organization? There are people who have insight on how to create on-ramps for audiences, but also how to streamline your processes to make sure that these types of stories, this type of feedback can regularly be incorporated into your business. In my opinion, you know, making things run smoother and also changing the dynamics of this industry for the better.
So, but being more inclusive also means being more honest about some of the problematic norms that we are seeing in our industry. And you have said, and I agree with this, that to be Black in this industry, you have to be wildly productive. But you've also said that we have a productivity problem in podcasting. What do you mean by that?
Well, let me start with what I meant by you have to be wildly productive. So, you know, with The Nod, I am a host. I am a producer. So, you know, at the base level, I'm finding stories. I am, you know, working on how to tell those stories through my podcast. But I also have to consider recruitment. Often, you know, at the companies that I have worked for, you know, there hasn't been as much diversity as one would hope. So it is difficult to find producers of color who can contribute from this. Like we said, you know, a lot of times if you're telling Black stories, you truly understand what people are looking for if you are also Black. It's not essential. It's not, you know, I think everyone should be able to tell stories. But again, if you're looking for that authenticity, you want to, you know, you want to empower people like myself to be able to tell those types of stories. Well, that represents a pipeline problem. So I have to go out and, you know, I'm recruiting to try to pull people into the industry to say, hey, there's space for you here. But then I also have to advocate within the organization to make sure that space is protected. So that is another set of work, you know, that we're kind of like attaching to this issue. I also have to participate in sales and marketing, like we said, you know, telling the story of this show. If people aren't there, you know, who understand why my show is important, who can't communicate the message and the promise of my show, it's going to cause a miss with audiences, with advertisers, with people understanding just what our value proposition is. So I have to then be very intimately integrated into those processes as well. All of those things, you know, it's great. I'm very glad that I know this business very well, but I also would love to be able to focus more of that energy. Excuse me, I just got a motorcycle outside. But I would love to be able to focus more of that energy on the thing that is my passion, which is actually creating the content, finding those stories and telling them. If we can focus more on diversity, inclusion, and equity, you know, there are people there, there are resources who I can, you know, trust to hand off to take that baton and lead it in the direction that I hope and that I, you know, that I see that it can go. So there's that. We gotta do a lot, you know. But then I also do think there is a bit of a productivity problem in the sense that, well, actually, it's maybe more of a motivation problem. So, you know, right now, podcasting is time intensive work. There are many different kind of tools that are being developed to streamline, you know, how production teams work. But it takes a lot of energy and time to commit to making a podcast from start to finish. And that's just the content side. It takes even more time, you know, to then find advertisers, to serve it, to take care of the technology that supports all these things. It requires a lot of labor, you know. But how are we motivating people to do that labor? Right now, you know, like we said, those people of color, the people who come from marginalized groups, they're working almost in perpetual burnout. You know, that is, these are the conversations that people are having. Like, how do I make this work that I'm passionate about, that I care about, sustainable? Like, how do I make it sustainable for me? So that's one issue. But then in addition to feeling like you are, you know, working in an environment that could, that is burning you out, you also have little voice and agency. And that's where that feedback component comes into play. You know, I don't mind what, you know, working on the knob, I put in more overnighters and weekend work to be able to make sure that I got a story right than I ever had. But I also wanted to choose that, you know, I also want to be able to sustain my life. I also want to be able to create content that is important to myself and my audience. And if we are prioritizing, if I'm able to choose where to invest that energy, where to invest that sweat equity in a space that I know my voice is prioritized, I'm more committed to making sure that this content is being seen all the way through, that it's done with quality, that it's done with care. So, you know, I think we need to think about how we're motivating people to act. If we start thinking about the work of inclusion, people are going to feel more integrated into a workspace. They're going to feel more comfortable speaking up, like guiding the content to the place that it needs to be to meet the audience's need. You know, and I think that work is really, really important. And in order to do that, we have to think about diversity. We have to think about inclusion. But we also just have to think about the process by which we create our content. How do we affect that to make sure that we are supporting people, to make sure that we are hearing what they have to say and prioritizing the insight that they bring to the table?
I want to dig just a little bit deeper on that thread because some people on this call might be able to relate to this, but I used to do this thing when I was not feeling too good about a day or whatever. I would put on my favorite MAC lipstick and I'd be like, today I'm faking it till I make it, right? Like, I'm not really feeling that good. I'm not in a good place, but I'm gonna put this on and I'm gonna go through. But there is something about the authenticity of podcasting, the authenticity expectation of our audience, where I'm not so quite sure that we can just fake it till we make it, right? We can just fake that we have it figured out on the inside of our companies where we're more diverse than we're not. And we can fake it with this content. Maybe we have one show over here and we still want all the benefits. But Eric, talk about how audiences are savvy, just as creators making this content are savvy. And if you're not authentic, authentic about this, it will hurt your bottom line. Yeah. And how people are not interested in podcasting becoming another media that is just extracting.
Mm, yeah. I mean, I think the big thing is, like, we have to give our audience credit. You know, like, so much of podcasting is making sure you don't lose people or confuse them or just make sure you can kind of bring them along. But audiences are also really smart. With our original podcast, Brittany and I's original podcast for Colored Nerds, the independent show, I remember the first time we had ads in our episode, we got a flood of positive messages saying, like, oh wow, you guys are stepping up. We hear you stepping up, you know, the content of the show. You have ads now. That means you're getting supporters. We're excited for you. That was the message that we received from just putting ads in our show, you know? And that was really exciting for me because it felt like my relationship to my audience was deep. And they were rooting for me. People spend a significant amount of time with the podcast that they listen to. It is a uniquely intimate medium. You know, people consider the creators and the hosts of our the podcast that people make sometimes as their friends. You know, they talk back to them, so they are paying more attention. They're paying a ridiculous amount of attention to almost every single detail of a show. They hear the changes that we make and they will call out if something does not feel right. You know, if you frame a story in a way that feels kind of offensive, or it's like it's punching down, they will let you know. You know, if there is an advertiser that they feel does not connect with the spirit of your show, they will let you know. If the claims that you are making don't feel legitimate or earnest to who you portray yourself to be, they will let you know. And how they let you know is turning their attention somewhere else. And that is a problem for the industry. We need to be able to create shows that develop an authentic relationship with their audiences. Oftentimes that is because they often come from those audiences themselves. You know, not even strictly from a, you know, thinking about race or like people of color will listen to other people of color. But I also just think about like, I'm a nerd. I love comics content. And I know, you know, when I listen to certain podcasts and they're talking about comics, I can tell when they're not getting it right, when they don't really know their stuff. And that turns me off. And then I'm looking for the next show. So that has an impact. This work is very important because our audiences are listening. They know the deal. You know, they also watch TV. They also, you know, watch film. They listen to music. They are familiar with these other media landscapes and how marginalized people and stories are treated within them. And so we have to think about this work because it will catch up. And that is what I think no one wants. People want this industry to succeed at every single level. And if we work together and we prioritize, you know, the collective, that equity, then there is the opportunity to truly deliver on what I think is a pretty astounding amount of potential.
So, you know, we are both content creators at heart, and a lot of the attention that's been paid and news that's been made in the last several months regarding our industry and DEI has focused on the content. But, you know, this is a business conference. There are other huge gaps in the industry, in our business model that needs some sunlight on it. So can you tell us how involved you had to be as the content person with the nod in order to get the sales and the marketing right?
I mean, as I mentioned before, intimately. So, you know, again, sales and marketing to me is about sales, marketing, and advertising is about telling kind of the story of your show. And, you know, to a certain degree, you know, myself as like a host and a co-creator of a show, I'm the kind of vision holder for what that story is. And you want to be able to pass that off. But I often felt unable to pass some of that work off to sales or marketing teams because of the disconnect in how we were approaching telling our story. You know, for The Nod in particular, you know, Blackness is essential to this show. It's a show about Black people and culture. So that has to be a kind of a key marker within how you're telling our story. Now, our show appeals to everyone, you know, but that Blackness is important to understand the value proposition. So as we think about, you know, in marketing, you know, or we think about how we're telling this story. So, you know, we need our show to be communicated that this is about Black people, about Black life, but it's made with the idea that you can listen, that everyone can listen, that we can pull everyone into these stories because they're relevant, you know? But when you're in these sales meetings, it can be difficult. A lot of times you're trying to figure out how to tell a story quickly, dynamically, create stakes. And you're often trying to think, you know, pretty broadly. So I would often have to sit with our salespeople to like say, hey, actually, I think how we should approach this is not using this language, but maybe this language. Functionally, like working with them to rewrite sales decks in some cases. You know, I'm talking to the analytics department to see, you know, how we can better slice our audience data, our downloads data, to understand, are we truly reaching our target audiences? We're looking at surveys. We're thinking about focus groups. I'm working with, you know, the focus group company to hopefully try to affect how they're even framing the questions to make sure that the insights that we're receiving are actually applicable and actionable for my show and my content. This is a lot of work, you know? There are people on this call who represent companies who do a lot of pieces of this completely. And right now, that work is also having to be done by creators. And I think that is creating, one, it creates a lack of productivity. There's some slack there. You know, if I was able to kind of focus on other parts of that production process, you know, that frees me up. It frees my time up. It allows me to be more productive. And it allows our sales team to be more productive too, because they need a little less guidance from me to be able to kind of run with that. So, you know, working in podcasting and coming from a group that feels unrepresented in the industry is having to learn every single part of the industry just to figure out how you can affect it to be able to do your particular job better. And that to me is a problem that needs to be figured out. And it's a problem that can only truly be figured out by the whole of a company. You know, it takes leadership listening to employees at every step of the way to understand how to affect our process to make it more equitable and to make it more inclusive so that people can kind of focus their attention where it should be. So we have 5 minutes left. Just want to call that out.
All right. So getting back to inclusion, I have two more questions, but I want to leave time for somebody else to ask a question.
I'll try to go fast. So,
no. So we do this work. Creators from underrepresented groups, we do this work because it's important to us. Podcasting as an industry has to decide if it's also important to it. Yeah. So what signs should we be looking for to know that progress is being made after this call in a month, in 3 months, in a year? What should we be looking for?
Well, I mean, I think there are a bunch of different factors, and because I think this work affects every part of the process. I think we should be looking for continual increases in underrepresented groups and new groups coming into podcasts in terms of downloads. We should be seeing a rise in content. If we're creating content that is attractive to them, people will listen, and those audiences will grow. That is one marker of success. Are we pulling new advertisers or creating different advertiser and sales relationships with our audiences? You know, are we pulling the insights that might be able to say to a marketer or to an advertiser that, hey, we have this show that I think speaks particularly to the people who you're trying to reach, and your content aligns specifically with the your messaging aligns specifically with the content that they're trying to create and put out. I think we, you know, find those types of relationships coming with ease, and again, finding new advertisers kind of coming into that relationship. I think it's changing the way, you know, we provide feedback. I think it's, you know, thinking about the whole of a person. You know, again, I do my best work when I feel the best. Are we providing people the tools and sometimes technology that they need to make their job as simple as possible so that they can put the most into it? You know, I think it's also pathways to promotion. You know, are we thinking about how are we seeing an increase in leadership? In representation in leadership, you know, from people who we haven't traditionally seen? You know, are we working with people in our more junior tiers to ensure that, you know, if we can't directly push them up in the organization, that we're at least prioritizing their feedback and insights so that we can innovate? I think, to me, I observe tiny steps of these things every day. And I'm looking out for them. I know, you know, you and many other people like me are looking out for them as well. And I, honestly, my hope is to be able to sell everyone else to look out for those same signs and be proactive about creating them and taking these steps. Because I think, you know, because again, one, yes, this is the right thing to do. You know, this is what people deserve, what our audiences deserve. But it's also, you know, what we deserve as employees, as colleagues, as people. And I think, you know, the entire industry will feel better about, again, delivering on that promise if we put more attention, time, and resources to this work.
Totally agree. If I can just, you know, maybe sneak in one more question before we see if the audience has one, because this is something that I think about quite a bit as someone who's been in media for more than a decade. I have been on many diversity initiatives, and a lot of people, like I said at the start of this session, stop at the hiring. Yeah. They want to just talk about, okay, how can we get? We have to. Thank you, Kurt. We have to get more people into this business. But what I want to emphasize is that we have to keep people in this business. I know many people, Eric, you know many people. I'm not ashamed to say that, like, I have thought about leaving this industry many times. And I would go out on a limb and, Eric, say that you probably have as well.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to focus our efforts. There are people in your organization right now who need tending to if we're going to really make changes. So don't just stop at, how can I get another hire? Pay attention to the people right now that you need to be retaining, and you need to be scooping them up right now and be like, this is our action plan. This is what we're doing next.
So much of this, you know, and I can make this, I promise Lee, I'll make this quick so we can keep going. But so much of this is a listening issue and standing with someone to understand that, like, hey, you know, I'm willing to work with you to support you in how to make this easier for all of us. And in order to do that, we have to hear what the experience has been. So that's why I say, like, things like feedback is really important because we have to understand the scope of the problem. And if we're not listening to the people who are speaking out about that problem, then we're going to miss it. And we're going to miss an opportunity to make the situation better for everyone. So yeah, I think that is so important. If we want to keep people in this industry, if we want to reach these audiences, we have to listen, and we have to show more compassion and empathy, and stand with the people who are saying it's time to try something new.
Thank you all so much for having us.
Thanks.